قال يا الجرايد اعلانات للخريجين والخريجات.
Khaled Abolnaga, movie star, movie producer, and it's been fun to watch you on the set, if I may say. You're the first name that people mention among the cultural producers of the new Egypt. And you get special credit for the movie Microphone, which anticipated the revolution 2 years ago by opening up the underground music scene that hadn't been formally recognized. I want to know, where's the spirit of that revolution moving today, 2 years later?
Well, thank you first for the introduction. I'm glad you're here, and I'm actually happy that we managed to meet. Do you remember Charles Dickens when he wrote about the French Revolution, A Tale of Two Cities?
Of course.
The first line, the first page, the first line, it was, if you remember well, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, and it goes on and on about contradictions. But then at the end, he ends it with, the bottom line is to put things in perspective. And answering your question, I would probably use Charles Dickens' description of the French Revolution times. It's the same time. I think all revolutions share that, the contradictions. But put things in perspective. You feel that something really big happens, something very spiritual, something very, you could say it's the best of times. It's something that brought everybody together. It's about integration. It's about everybody equality and so on. And that's what the revolution felt beginning till now. At the same time, you have the crazy fundamentalist now speaking rubbish, really, is a rhetoric that you think that, my God, do they still talk like that after this great revolution? So yes, it is the best of times. Some people can say the worst of times. But really, to find out where this revolution is going, the key word is, again, back to Charles Dickens, perspective. Where are we going? We're definitely going in the right direction. Maybe now, slower, but even with the Muslim Brotherhood in power, which everybody thinks is a crisis, I think is the best thing that ever happened, if you think about it, because now they cannot claim that they didn't have the chance, full chance, to be in power. Can they veil women, and can they close bars, and can they do this? No. You know why? Because even veiled women now will not take it that they are dictated to be veiled. Even veiled women. It's about people now. I always say that the big change is not losing Mubarak or getting rid of Mubarak or Ben Ali in Tunis. The big change is that people cannot be manipulated anymore. People cannot be manipulated by fear. Not in Egypt, not in Tunis, actually not even in the States. I don't think in the States you can have another Bush, because people knew now, I feel when I was there, that there's no more... No more that a leader will come or a politician will come and be manipulate people and green light wars and invade countries what happened before. So the real change in Egypt today boils down to that every individual cannot be dictated what to do, cannot let his rights be taken away from him or her. And that's the big change. Nothing else changed. People in power are still using the same old tactics, and that's their mistake. And I think this is why the Muslim Brotherhood is losing millions of votes every day, because they're losing this historical chance to be the revolution government. They're not, unfortunately, doing that so far. So I think very soon they're going to lose it again. But that means we're going the right direction. They cannot enforce... there's a very famous quote that I love to take to use, which is, the power of the people now is stronger than the people in power.
People keep telling us it's a cultural revolution, which makes a lot of sense, a revolution of consciousness. Sometimes I wonder, does that mean, you know, let them eat movies, let them eat music, rather than real reform, either of the society or the government? But then I ask you, as a sort of cultural producer, what is the job of artists if indeed it is a cultural revolution?
It's a revolution in every sense, meaning that I stood in the balcony of a friend of mine in Tahrir, and I looked at people flooding the square in the morning of the 28th. I remember that was a Friday, 28th of January 2011, and I knew it. I knew it. This is going to be a revolution. That was just the third day into the demonstrations, the big demonstrations. And it was not because there was art or culture or there was songs, yes, and chants and graffiti. Yes, there was all that, but it's not because of that. It was when I looked in the eyes of every person in that square. Something in their eyes said, we're going to change, we're going to win, and there's no going back. Enough. It's, you know, people always ask, where is the Egyptian history and where is this Egyptian culture? Where did it go? All those 7,000 years of civilization, where did it all go? How did it come, end up becoming a police state ruled by a dictator and, you know, in the middle of a region with a lot of wars and like everything's like almost minimized to nothing? And that moment, I think every Egyptian felt the same thing. It's like, it's about time that this thing we all feel is right and should happen. And that moment was the clock for it. And that was the time for it to come back. It was like a collective consciousness that this is the awakening moment. And it happened because of Tunis, because of what happened in Tunis, but it's the trigger. Enough number of people went and believed in it, and that triggered the rest to have the same thing, that this country believes. Basically, everybody was saying that this country deserves better, this country must play its role, this culture has to really be the leading of to lead this area out of the wars and craziness and segregation and all these rhetoric that we hear in TV stations so Egyptians were talking about that a lot, and they say, when is this going to happen? When is it ever going to see this? This is not what Egypt stands for. Egypt stands for, you know, even our flag before Nasser's new flag, it was the crescent with three stars, as in like collecting all the three main religions. And it was all about integrating cultures. Egypt is about that. Since the 1952 revolution and Nasser and the basically military in power, which the revolution was very much about getting the military out of power. That was really number one. It's like getting Mubarak out, getting military out. Yep. And because we had enough with the military in power. Military in power means the thing security. And once you have a government that thinks security first, it's over. It's same thing that happened in the States. When you have governments say security first, it's over. It's gone. Culture is gone. You know, the priority becomes security, and then lies is justified, and you know, the rest of the whole scenario. So that's the thing. People realize that we have to get rid of these people. Not that they are bad, but they're not suitable for governing. It's over. We can see that. We've been with them for over 60 years now. So yeah. So coming back to your question, what was the job of an artist to do this? The job of the artist is to feel and honestly make art out of that. That's all what we can do. And hopefully, with microphone, what we did was we just felt there was an underground scene of independent artists doing independent music about amazing lyrics, about real subjects, about politics, about repression of the police, about drugs, about gender issues, sexuality. And that to us was completely like, how come they're not seen? How come they don't have a microphone? Hence the movie name. So we decided to make a documentary first, and then it turned out to be a feature when we sat on it and worked on it. So I think the job of an artist, if he tries to be honest to the moment or to the character or to the story he's telling, he depicts without even noticing more than that. People find in his art, in their art, more than just a story of a character or of this underground music scene. Something else is there, which is the atmosphere, the whole mood of the country. And this is why probably the movie pretty much now is seen as something, a movie that predicted the revolution. We didn't know. I mean, at that time, if you ask us, we didn't know if there would be a revolution. We knew that there was change happening. We had no idea when it will happen. We had no idea how fast or how big it will happen, but we knew it's going to happen.
It's striking. You heard it before there was a name for it. Today, can you put a word, a name on the spirit of that impulse?
Yeah. It's very easy. You find it in most of the graffitis in the walls. You read it everywhere. It says, revolution continues. Thawra mustamira. And that's what you find written all over the walls now in Cairo and Alexandria. The general sentiment is, especially with the youth who started the revolution, is we started it, and it still continues. It's not over yet. It's still maybe even the bigger wave is coming because we felt that they've been trying to play with the revolution first with the military to stay in power as long as possible. Now we got rid of the military somehow, but now we have the Muslim Brotherhood, the extremists and the fundamentalists, and they are playing again the same games of Mubarak. So they're not really losing this chance. So I think it will continue until we have a government that is a true revolution government that takes those basic principles of the revolution and put them priority number one: freedom, equality, and social and dignity. And these are the three most chanted principles of the revolution.
I mean, how long can the political delivery be postponed?
That's a good question. But when you have a dream, you have a dream. You'll fight all over. I mean, people died for that dream, and people will not, let go. So as long as it takes, really, as long as it takes to get those principles of the revolution in the government, to have a true revolution government. We don't have it right now.
This revolution held the world breathless, really, 2 years ago, the United States included. And it may well have been the seed of Occupy and a lot of other activism and confidence for reform, for rights and right around the world. Is this still part of your conception that somehow in North Africa, in the Arab nation, there's a new beginning?
Yeah.
I mean, is that still part of the plan?
There is no plan but that, man. This is it. My feeling that what happened is not something that is happening in the Arab world or Egypt. This is happening to humanity. And revolutions, big revolutions, do that. Every big revolution did that. They affected the whole planet. I totally believe that street in Tunis, an incident in Tunis affecting people in Cairo, affecting people in Libya, Syria, all the Arab countries, is the most profound and big statement we will ever witness in our lifetime. And what it says is that it's integrating. These people are saying they are one. And they are one nation, one people. And they stand for freedom, equality, and basic human rights. This area in the world is the worst area when it comes to human rights. You can go from crazy things like women cannot drive, for God's sake, in Saudi Arabia, to, I was just in Qatar, women are not supposed to smoke, but men are. And I hate smoking. I don't smoke. But that's on the side. The idea of those rights or equality is gone. On the same country, but you'll find the culture is about equality. If you read, the culture is about equality, but then it's not on the ground. So you read a lot about how our grandparents, for example, would talk about how, yes, women were a little bit shy, but a woman is equal to a man on all levels. And in Egypt, in the parliament, whatever, yes, there were less women, but they were given the right to do that. Now, little by little, these rights were taken away and were manipulated by the state and so on. So it made sense to me that the first, when change in our human discourse, in our time happens, it will first hit this area because it's the most area repressed and oppressed. And I think it is happening to the whole world, but it is time. This is the time. And the only thing is that it had to happen here first. And it will happen everywhere at some point. I actually believe that with the technology, we don't need politicians. Think about it. You needed politicians to basically talk and basically talk on your behalf. But now you can all talk on our own behalf using texting and we can actually vote by cell phones. And why do we need politicians who basically just manipulate and you know, at the end of the day, they work for corporations and they basically just completely blur what we ask for, and we know the story. So I believe that we're coming to an age of finally having the power of the people more than the people in power.
Fit the United States into the conversation here. going back to wherever you'd begin, what's the American role as inspiration, obstacle, problem, solution, partner, whatever?
Well, I have to tell you that people here learned to differentiate between the American government and the American people because of movies and arts and culture, because they see what Americans are like, and at the same time they see what the governments are like and what they do. So people learned by time that they differentiate between the American people and the American politics and the American government. They hate American governments. They hate American politics. They think it's a joke. They're sick of it. So they think the governments of the United States are an obstacle always for peace. They're obstacle. They're always not in the path of peace. They're always doing the wrong thing, and the wrong thing will always end up wars happening more, people suffering more. There will never be a solution, I believe, between the Palestinians and the Israelis if the U.S. always stand in one side, because the Israelis feel that they have the power and the support of the U.S., the support in the U.N., you know, that's it. Mm. And Egyptians and Arabs feel the same, and they think that if the U.S. stays playing that role, they are the reason there is no solution. And now, Obama, I couldn't believe that he said that we stood by the revolution from day one. And no, you didn't. And you didn't say it. Maybe you did. You didn't tell us. But I don't think he can use that sentence in Cairo. That would be hard. I don't know. I'm usually not a conspiracy kind of person. But where did this Obama Cairo speech go? It almost like...
You tell me.
I keep asking myself... Where did that really happen? I was standing in the like fourth, fifth row there in that Cairo University day when Obama came to give the speech. I was invited and I went. I usually never go to these things, but I thought, wait a minute, this guy is coming all the way, and he spoke amazingly. I thought, that's what we need. And I was still supporting him for so long, but at some point I lost hope, like a lot of people, and I felt, what went wrong? I thought he was trying to please everybody. He ended up pleasing nobody. And I thought with the second term now, he would start delivering maybe. So I'm confused about Obama right now. I really liked the guy in the beginning, and I think he was going to deliver. He didn't, and I think he has the next second chance, and maybe the last chance. Not only for him, he's in a position to either take the States and reverse this catastrophic course everywhere in the economy, everything, or not be brave again and do what any other president would have done, and just I don't know, just keep going the way we're going. But we all know we're going ahead to the disaster at some point, economically, politically, everywhere. I think we need someone who really, really brave now in politics, and that's why I hate politicians, because they always fail to be brave enough to tell you in your face what should be done, and go ahead and do it. And we know it's going to be hard now, but it's going to be a crisis later. I believe this is not about a revolution in Egypt, or this is a time that will change the world. I don't think that anybody in power now will be strong enough to green light wars by fear mongering messages or even now the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt to basically dictate what people do or wear or all these things. They can't anymore. It's over. And that is the age. This is the signs of a new age. And that's the really beginning, I think, of a new age we're all witnessing. We saw it big in the Middle East because it was the really most repressed. But I think it will happen all over the world. I feel it in the States. I feel it from a lot of people now when I talk to them in the States, even the most conservative. They still see that the power of the people has to be bigger. And that's why this is important. This is why we have to support this revolution in Egypt as a symbol, because it did represent what this whole new age will be like.
Khaled Abolnaga, thank you for this conversation. Thank you for letting us see you at work. Thank you for letting us hear you talk.
Thank you so much.
عقلك يطير مطلوب خليل يحكي حكايات أو سمكاري يعرف لغات يعزف كمان وكورديون يكسب عشان
الصالون عصنوا فاهم في الحلاق والحداق والسواق عشان كده بيعرف يسوق.